2. The Men. Robert Edward Lee. He is in his 57th year, 5 feet 10 inches tall, but very short in the legs, so that when he rides a horse, he seems much taller. Red-faced, like all the Lees, white-bearded, dressed in an old gray coat and a gray felt hat, without insignia, so that he is mistaken sometimes for an elderly major of dignity. An honest man. A gentleman. He has no vices. He does not drink or smoke or gamble or chase women. He does not read novels or plays. He thinks they weaken the mind. He does not own slaves nor believe in slavery. But he does not believe that the Negro, in the present stage of his development, can be considered the equal of the white man. He is a man in control. He does not lose his temper nor his faith. He never complains. He has been down that spring with the first assault of the heart disease, which will eventually kill him. He believes absolutely in God. He loves Virginia above all, the mystic dirt of home. He is the most beloved man in either army. He marches knowing that a letter has been prepared by Jefferson Davis, a letter which offers peace. It is to be placed on the desk of Abraham Lincoln the day after Lee has destroyed the Army of the Potomac somewhere north of Washington. James Longstreet, Lieutenant General, 42, Lee's second in command. A large man, larger than Lee, full-bearded, blue-eyed, ominous, slow-talking, crude. He is one of the first of the new soldiers. The cold-eyed men who have sensed the birth of the new war of machines. He has invented a trench and a theory of defensive warfare. But in that courtly company, few will listen. He is one of the few high officers in that army not from Virginia. That winter in Richmond, 3 of his children have died within a week of a fever. Since that time, he has withdrawn. No longer joins his men for the poker games he once loved, for which he was famous. They call him Old Pete, and sometimes the Dutchman. His headquarters is always near Lee, and men remark upon the intimacy, and some are jealous of it. He has opposed the invasion of Pennsylvania, but once the army is committed, he no longer opposes. Yet he will speak his mind. He will always speak his mind. Lee calls him with deep affection, my old war horse. Since the death of Stonewall Jackson, he has been Lee's right hand. He is a stubborn man. George Pickett, Major General, 42. Gaudy and lovable, long-haired, perfumed. Last in his class at West Point, he makes up for a lack of wisdom with a lusty exuberance. In love with a girl half his age, a schoolgirl from Lynchburg named LaSalle Corbell, to whom he has vowed ne'er to touch liquor, received his appointment to West Point through the good offices of Abraham Lincoln, a personal friend, and no one now can insult Abe Lincoln in Pickett's presence, although Lincoln is not only the enemy, but the absolute utterest enemy of all. On the march toward Gettysburg, Pickett's Virginia division is, by a trick of fate, last in line. He worries constantly that he will miss the last great battle of the war. Richard Ewell, Lieutenant General, 46, egg-balled, one-legged, recently married. He refers to his new wife absent-mindedly as Mrs. Brown. Eccentric, brilliant. Chosen out of all Lee's officers to succeed to a portion of Stonewall Jackson's old command. But he has lost something along with the leg that a soldier sometimes loses with the big wounds. He approaches Gettysburg unsure of himself, in command of 20,000 men. Ambrose Powell Hill, Major General, 37, has risen to command the other part of Jackson's old corps. A moody man, often competent, bad-tempered, wealthy, aspires to a place in Richmond society. Frets and broods and fights with superiors. He wears a red shirt into battle. He should be a fine soldier and sometimes is, but he is often ill for no apparent reason. He does not like to follow orders. At Gettysburg, he will command a corps, and he will be sick again. Louis Armstead, Brigadier General, 46. Commander of one of George Pickett's brigades. They call him Low, which is short for Lothario, which is meant to be witty, for he is a shy and silent man, a widower. Descended from a martial family, he has a fighter spirit, is known throughout the old army as the man who, while a cadet at the Point, was suspended for hitting Jubal Early in the head with a plate. He has developed over long years of service a deep affection for Winfield Scott Hancock, who fights now with the Union. Armstead looks forward to the reunion with Hancock, which will take place at Gettysburg.